I have a pleasure of welcome our old friend, Pastor Li Dao Huang, to join us again and deliver the message. May you please welcome Pastor Huang.
Morning, family. I like how there's this giant, giant bald spot right over here because everybody just kind of loves sitting in the back. It's beautiful. My name is Lita, if we have not yet met, and thank you, Pastor Josh, for having me back with you guys. Thank you for the leadership and your staff that works really just tirelessly to serve in your ministries. So today, this is kind of an appetizer for your series in John. It's following and flourishing, and it's a little story in John that your Pastor Josh and your staff will be bringing you through. And it's a little appetizer because it's a little jump ahead at the book that you guys will be looking at. So it'll be a lot of fun today. I want to read from John chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. If you have that, you can pull that in your devices or follow along as I read it. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him. Everybody say test. For he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets, everybody say 12, with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who was to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him forth to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Lord, I pray that as we dive deep into your word, that you would, in the process of discovery, send us far out into the world. That your Holy Spirit will be making us anew, calling us into the margins, calling us to those who are far from you, and calling us to where you are actively working and bringing your kingdom here to Hayward, California, and the rest of the world. Would your word be proclaimed this morning for your glory and for your glory alone? Use this time to advance your mission and to bring glory to your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Family, 3 observations from the text that we'll go over today. First is following Jesus stretches you. Second, it sends you. And third, it surrounds you. Following Jesus stretches you. Following Jesus sends you. And following Jesus surrounds you. Verse 5 to 7, lifting up his eyes and in seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said to them to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be enough. So, tests. California standardized testing is used to quantitatively measure the learning progress of students. In school, my teachers, when I was in school, gave me tests because they didn't know how Asian I was. Now, I'm not very Asian because I failed out a lot of my classes and barely graduated high school. out of family line of cousins. Not sure if I shared this with you already, that all UC, Stanford, Berkeley, and then here I am, Cal State, Hayward, and then the rest goes on. I had to go through a whole process with that, an identity crisis. But here we are with Jesus. You know, he's not measuring Philip because he's testing him. He's not measuring Philip because he already knew what Philip would do. In verse 6, he said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. He was doing this test because in giving Philip the test, it was giving him an opportunity to grow. And God will do the same with us. He will test you so that you will have the opportunity to grow in faith, in love, and in confidence in him. James 1 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials, so that you may be mature and complete." In other words, God does not test us so he can know how strong we are. He tests us so we can know how strong he is. That one was really good. I mean, I would love some like kind of feedback, you know, because every time I drop something like that, I'm kind of looking for like, is someone out there? Yeah, you know, are y'all good? Okay. You know, if it's good, then like give me a nod. You know, if it's just like a blank face, I'm not sure if this is on or I'm, you know, so I want to make sure that we're all good here. I know it's Labor Day weekend and all. When we are tested, family, when God allows us to be stuck between a rock and a hard place, we are brought to our knees, and it's in our weakness we discover God is strong. And when God asked me and my wife to plant a church, it was also part of a test. And after some years of saying no and running away from that calling, we decided to do it, left an established job. And God has come through our testing. He's provided for us. He is providing for us and giving us this team. And it's in the testing, the season we're in, we're discovering that God is strong, that God is able. Verse 7, Philip answered him, "Hey, Jesus, 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be enough to give each of them a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has a couple happy meals." And Jesus said, "Have them sit down. There's much grass in the place." So the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. They only counted the men back in the day, and there were 5,000 of them. If you include women and children, some scholars think it would be up to 20,000 people. Oracle Arena, pour one for the homie, that one's, what's the capacity, anyone know? About 20 grand, I'm thinking, 20,000? All right, 19,596, no one's counting. So, if you can just picture with me the Oracle Arena, filled with people, right? Men, women, children, sitting across the countryside of Israel. And here they are with a little boy and a couple Happy Meals. Philip answered 200 denarii. He said, basically 8 month wages, approximately maybe $30,000 to $50,000. He's like, listen, you know, 40 grand isn't enough to feed this stadium of people. Jesus, you know, he doesn't stockpile food for 15,000 people. He doesn't have a meeting with the disciples, show them proof of funds, and explain all the logistical details. He just says, okay, we're going to feed everybody. And when God asks you to do something, he doesn't always give you the exact blueprints, does he? He doesn't give you the script always, the game plan, the strategy for it, because in the process of testing, we discover God is strong. And we discover God is good and God is able. It's kind of like rubber bands. Rubber bands, we like using rubber bands. My wife likes using rubber bands for her hair. So I see rubber bands all over the house, just randomly pick them up, fling them at the wall. Rubber bands are useful only when they are stretched, when tension is applied. Don't think that just because something in your life is being stretched that it is bad. That's what oftentimes we apply and we think, about some kind of tension in our life, some kind of stretching, some kind of testing. But it could be God growing you. Because growth happens in the tension between where you are and where God is calling you to be. Growth happens, on the flip side, growth stops when there is a lack of tension between where you are and where God is calling you to be. So the question is, where are you being stretched? Where is God testing you in your life? Where is He testing you in your marriage, in your singleness, in your career, in your time, in your finances? How is He testing you? Not to so He can see how strong you are, but so that you can realize how strong He is. First point is Jesus, following Jesus will stretch you. It will stretch you. The second S, following Jesus sends you. Verse 10, now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, He told His disciples, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. So that they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. Why do you think there were 12 left over? Say again? Thank you. Some scholars believe that the 12 represents 12 tribes of Israel. My man over here gave us exactly the point I want to illustrate, was that there were 12 disciples that would follow Jesus, and there was 12 baskets left over, because there was a symbolism here going on of a basket for each disciple. In other words, what John Piper says, surely Jesus means to say, when you serve Me, and when you give and give and give until you think you can give no more, I will take care of you. I will always be enough for you. If you pour out your life to give bread to the world, I will be your all-satisfying bread. The more you bring satisfaction to others, the more I will be your satisfaction. The more you give your life to others, the more I will be life to you. As you give yourself away, there will be enough for you. Isn't that the most common barrier to living on mission for God? I don't have the time. I don't have the energy. I go to work, I come home, watch TV, veg out. On the weekend, I just want to hang out with friends. I'll attend church, and then the cycle goes on. Don't got time for that. But Jesus is saying here, if you feed My people, if you are sent on mission, I will take care of you. Your needs will be met. There was 12 baskets left over, symbolizing a basket for each disciple. Let me ask you a question. Who sets the mission of a company? CEO. CEO sets the mission of a company. Who is the CEO of the church? I heard Jesus. Correct. Jesus is the CEO of the church. Now, has Jesus retired? No. Has He died? Well, that's not really what I'm trying to get into right now. Has He sold off the company of the church? No, He hasn't. Actually, He bought it with His blood. So what's the mission of the church? It's Matthew 28. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and therefore I will be with you always to the end of the age. That's the mission of the church. And as Jesus is sent by the Father, He has sent you and I into a hurting and broken world to bring the kingdom of God to Hayward, California, right where we are, in the places where we work, eat, play, and rest. The world is changed by your example, not just by your opinion. But the people here are so different. It's Hayward. It's everything so different. The community is so different. They act different, talk different, look different, dress different. Well, that's kind of the point. Revelation 7:9, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, and language, standing before the throne of God. So give yourself away, because there will be enough for you. There will be baskets in abundance left over for you as you are on mission as a community of God, as you serve the community, as you open your homes to your neighbors, as you love your coworkers. Philippians 4:19, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God is enough for you as you give yourself away, as you create margins in your crazy busy schedule. To give yourself away, there will be baskets left over. God is for you, but life ain't about you. And the sooner we live it, the sooner we come alive. Following Jesus, number one, stretches you. Following Jesus sends you. Finally, following Jesus surrounds you with God's power. You see, all synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, they all have the same verbiage of how this happens. They all say this: then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowd. So this is what I would have done if I was one of the disciples. Jesus would have given me the bread, and I would look at Oracle Arena and be like, oh my God, how am I supposed to feed you? Okay, here, have some. Take some. Just take a little bit. Take a little bit. Just a little bit. I got to make the stretch. Take a little bit. Just take a little. Stop. That. Just a little bit. Come on, man. Got to make the stretch. Like 20,000 people, man. Take a little bit. Just a little bit. Sorry, I didn't mean to hit you so hard. I would have done that because I would have looked at the ocean of people and I would have been freaking out like, man, this is crazy. How am I supposed to feed 20,000 people with a couple Happy Meals? But here's the truth. The truth is this, that there wasn't just baskets left over. The truth is this, the miracle didn't happen in Jesus' hands. It happened in the disciples' hands. Because they followed Jesus, they had a firsthand experience of God's power. And family, if I'm real with us today, the reason many of us have not truly experienced God's power firsthand in our lives is because attending church doesn't necessarily mean we're following Jesus. I mean, it's great. Attending church is great. That's a baseline. That's a baseline. But following Jesus, it stretches us. It sends us out into uncomfortable places. It calls us outside of our comfort zone, because that's where life begins, outside your comfort zone. Verse 12 says, when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up, filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves. When the people saw the sign that he had done, this is indeed the prophet. He fed Oracle Arena. Let's make him king. Jesus, perceiving they're about to do this, withdrew again to the mountains and by himself. They wanted to make him king because they wanted geopolitical deliverance from their oppressors, the Romans. They needed an answer to their earthly problem, and Jesus wasn't interested. So what did he do? He left. Or today's millennials would say, ghosted him. It was their agenda, and he disappeared. Family, we oftentimes don't experience God's power because we're not living according to his agenda. We're living according to ours. And instead of living into his mission, we try to force him into ours. God, help my life. Help me reach this status. Help me get this job. Help me get this person. Help me get this relationship. Help me get this and achieve this and be there and get this. Family, that's fine to pray for your needs. That's a good thing. God invites you to pray for your needs. But God's power, his supernatural power, listen to this, isn't just for your problems to be solved. It's for the kingdom to be brought to earth. And the more kingdom-minded we are, the more kingdom power we will experience. Okay, I need you to listen really carefully. This part's really good. In the temptation of Jesus, he was with Satan. And Satan said, "Take this little rock and turn it into bread." And Jesus is like, no. He said no. Why? Because it wasn't his agenda. It wasn't his mission. It was Satan's mission, Satan's agenda. But here he is in Oracle Arena, and he feeds up to 20,000 people with bread. Why is that? It's because God's power is manifested when it accomplishes God's mission. We will be surrounded by God's power when we live according to God's purposes. Yes, God loves you. Yes, God, yes, you're his child. But we're not going to fully experience his power if we're just trying to get the bills paid. If we're just trying to raise our families and live in a safe life. We are going to be immersed in God's power. Like this, when we see this happen, when we live as he stretches us out of our comfort zones, when we're being sent into a hurting and broken world, when we open our homes to the lost. As a church planner, I've spent time in evangelism to the lost, and I've experienced God's power in numerous ways. I've seen him bring healing as I knocked on my neighbor's doors and invited them, Hispanic neighbors, for a meal. Wife and I hosted them, looked up over the dinner table with tears in their eyes after praying for their recent miscarriage. Experienced God's patience at the gym where I do a Bible study with non-Christian businessmen, all of them unchurched and atheist. One of them told me, "I used to be narrow, Lita, but after these studies now I'm more open to belief. I used to want empirical evidence, but now I see how even being around other believers can help me believe." I've experienced God's power over death as a person I played basketball with, invited over to a lot of meals and got to know his family, called me when he was suicidal because he didn't know who else to talk to. And as I walked into his house, he showed me where his guns were, and we walked him outside into the trunk of my car where I locked him up, went back into his house and prayed with him. And you may not be a pastor, you may not be a church planner, but there are people God's placed in your life. There's coworkers, there's your neighbors, there's your family and friends that God has divinely placed you in relationship with so that you can influence for the gospel. You can love them right where they're at. Open your homes to them for his glory. Following Jesus, it stretches you. Following Jesus, it sends you. And following Jesus, it surrounds you with God's power. Are we being stretched? Is God stretching you in your life, with your time, talents, and hobbies and career? Is he using those things to stretch you so he wouldn't see how strong you are, but so you can see how strong he is? Is he sending you to love others? To use the power of hospitality to break down walls of hostility in your neighbors, your community, your family and friends, and to trust that as you create margins in your life, that you will have baskets left over. Your needs will be met as you create margins in your life for others. Are we witnessing his power? Are we surrounded by his power in our lives? As we following Jesus, are we seeing God move mountains in those that are lost, those are far from him, demonstrating his power against the forces of darkness, death, and evil, so people can find hope and salvation in him? Family, while attending church is great, there's so much more he invites us to. It's in the stretching. It's in the sending. It's in the surrounding that following Jesus gives us a flourishing life. And if there isn't any of this stretching, if there isn't any of this sending, if there isn't any of this surrounding of God's power, I wonder if it's Jesus we're really following. So how do we begin? I'll close with this. How do we begin this flourishing life? Following Jesus begins with believing he lived the life he's asking you to live. Actually, following Jesus begins with believing he already lived the life you cannot live. He already suffered and was stretched on a cross for the sins you and I have committed. And he perfectly accomplished God's mission as the one being sent by God. And in 3 days after his death, he rose from the powers of the death and darkness and the grave and defeated it to surround the world with his power. And now, following Jesus means we believe he already did all of these things. And it's out of believing we can begin and continue our little steps of following Jesus. Father, I pray that you would now encourage those of us who are already mobilized on mission, that are already being stretched, those of us that are being sent and living a life of sentness into our neighborhoods, communities, family, and friends. Encourage us and show us, Lord, that you are actively making and recreating and restoring a world, as it says in Scripture, your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So encourage those, Lord, that are doing your work and your will. Encourage those who are on your mission. Encourage those who don't have the words to say, who don't know how to take the next step, but are living it and trying it and praying and asking it. Equip. Bring words. Bring boldness. Soften the soil of the hearts of those in the Bay Area that are about to receive your word through these people here, your believers that are sent on mission. But Father, don't just encourage those who are mobile, mobilize those who are idle. Father, so many of us in the American church, myself included, have become church attenders, not followers of Jesus. So Lord, would you now admonish us gently, in love, in your truth and spirit, so that we would not just be merely consumers of American Christianity and this consumer good of church, but we would be mobilized as a community on mission to be stretched, to be sent into a hurting and broken world. And ultimately to be surrounded by your power and your glory. Lord, I pray that this story of feeding the 20,000 with a couple happy meals would fly off the pages of the book and into the reality of our lives. That we would experience this more and more as we follow you. And we thank you that you have already lived this life on the cross. And it's out of believing that, it's out of faith we are saved. And now we can begin to take steps closer and closer to your will. I pray these in Jesus' name. Amen.